Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for September 27th, 2020. The passage for today is James 4:13 to 18. If you would like to follow along, you can download the manuscript at www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org. Click the sermons link at the top and choose today's manuscript. Here's Pastor John Sherrill.
Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews. We'll get there one of these days. James chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 13 to 17, and I believe that 13 through 17 and then chapter 5, 1 to 7 go together in some ways, and so we'll get there next, but I'm only going to look at these few verses today. And the title of the sermon, it's pretty easy, I think, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. So let's read that. Starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with these words in front of us. These are your words. We do not take them for granted. We have such a feast that you've given to us in your word. Every day, every week, every second. And you are so good to give us your word. I pray that today that your spirit would work, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray the Lord Jesus would be lifted up, that he would increase, that we would decrease. Father, take this time and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have two main truths this morning. So I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go. And pretty simple, I think. The first truth is this: God is sovereign. Second truth, I'm just going to use James' words translated in the English here with the ESV. Life is a mist. So that's it. Two truths. One, God is sovereign. Two, life is a mist. And those truths are fairly short. And then I have a number of applications that will come directly from the text. But let's begin with the first truth. God is sovereign. This passage and the book of James screams this truth, and the entire Bible for that matter. God is sovereign. He is the Lord. Look at verse 15. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. And then even down in chapter 5, verse 4, when he's speaking on a little different topic, which cannot be separated from verses 13 to 17, and in verse 4, he says, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of who? The Lord of hosts. Through the years of my preaching, for sure, I think the sovereignty of God has been the focus of an overwhelming number of passages. And also, this truth has been a truth that I have preached numerous times because the Scriptures just proclaim God is the Lord. And so, this is not new today, but I think it helps to preach it in the context of what's going on in James. This truth, though, that God is sovereign, is foundational to everything. It is an anchor that grounds us from drifting away from the truth. There is not one square inch in this universe that God is not Lord over, that He is not sovereign over today. And we know that, but we need to be reminded for sure. In our context with James, we see business people. We see merchants, those who have the means to make money. And they are making decisions as we would do today as business people. They're running their businesses. And what they are doing, though, what is their sin, is they are running their businesses as if they themselves are the ones that are in control of making their money. As if they are the ones who are sovereign and not God. I think that's pretty clear, pretty easy passage there. In verse 13, look there with me. James says to them, "Come now, you who say..." Let me just stop for a second. I am not sure. It's obvious James is writing to Christians, and I think James doesn't know often, as I don't often know when I preach the gospel, who are Christians and who are not. For the most part, yes. I hope even when we talk, when we bring James, Josh this morning to... We present you for membership, we do that because we say, we really believe that Josh is a Christian. He's given a testimony, he's given a profession, and he understands where we're at as a church. We've had elder interviews, and that's what we do. But I am not so naive to think that many who are professors of Christ are really not Christians. And so I think it's the same with James. Sometimes it's obvious, though, he is pointing out non-Christians here. It's in both these texts with 4 and chapter 5. I think he is preaching to both, for sure. But look back there at verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and profit." And then in verses 14 and 15, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" Now, these merchants, they have the means to travel and to live in other cities, to go there with their goods and to buy and trade. That's what business people do in order to make a profit. I remember my dad telling stories. And this was probably even before my dad's time, but he would tell stories of, he would say, Charlie Cannon, he would, as groups were vying for the purchasing of cotton all over the United States, and there was always a middleman who would come and sell cotton on behalf of the farmers. Well, Charlie Cannon would just, he found a man that he trusted, he would give him a load of cash, and that man would go out with cash, he would bypass all the middlemen, and he would go straight to the farmer and buy the cotton at a very low price. And that's what good business people do, and I think that is very normal, and that's what we are seeing here with James. Now, James is not condemning making a profit, because making a profit, making money, is certainly not a sin. And James is not condemning planning out how we make a profit or how we would make money in our vocation. Not at all. But what he is saying is that conducting business or making money in disregard to the sovereignty of God is sinful. This is pride. Thinking that you or me or we are the ones responsible for our good fortune is sin. And this is a strong rebuke from James. Look at verses 16 and 17. "As it is, you boast in your arrogance." So in other words, to leave God out of our plans as is to think that we are the ones that are sovereign, it is arrogant. "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin." Now we'll come back to that a little bit later in the application. But brothers and sisters, we are not in ultimate control of what will happen tomorrow. We do not know the specifics of the future, but God, He does know what will happen tomorrow, for He is the sovereign Lord. Now, let me read some verses. You don't have to turn there with me, but just listen. Some verses about the sovereignty of God. Psalm 33, verses 8 to 11. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. When we think we have so much going on, even in our own political atmosphere, and we think we have so much control, we do, to an extent, but God is the one who really controls these things. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man plans his way. That's what we do. We make our plans. If you're a business person, you make your plans in order to make the best profit, and I think that's being a good steward. And we do that. But the Lord establishes your steps. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Isaiah 46, verse 9. I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will accomplish all my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed. I will do it. Daniel 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand, or none can say to Him, what have you done? Finally, last verse I will read on this topic. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Brothers and sisters, if I can say this from eternity past, when God said, and then up to when God said, let there be light, with creation and on through eternity, future, if I can say that, God is the Lord. He is sovereign. And when we act as if we know what tomorrow will bring and leave Him out of our plans, and we think that our own efforts are the ultimate cause of our success in whatever endeavor we do, and then we boast in our hearts as if we are the cause of blessing, this is sin, because God is sovereign. That's truth number one. Truth number two from this passage. Life is a mist. Now, I must admit, I had a hard time with this one as far, not finding the meaning, but just giving this part of the sermon, these words, these sentences, a main truth. Because I could say, at first I had, life is short. And y'all hear me say that all the time, repeating the proverb, repeating the psalm, life is short and full of troubles. That would certainly be true, and I think that is a point that James is making. Life is short. I could say life is fleeting. It's going away. That would also be true, but there is so much more here. Look with me again at verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And then here's the question. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So what I decided to do was just use James' word. Life is a mist. And I think I can explain that better than giving it some other truth there. But this word mist can also be translated as smoke. And it's when someone, you see some smoke come up for a minute, or someone's vaping or something, what does it do? It's there for a moment, and then it is completely gone, not even to be found, only a second or two or three, depending on what kind of mist, like chaff that is thrown out from a ship that is being attacked in order to guard off some type of missile. It is there for a moment, and then it is gone again. So I think in order to grasp James' meaning, we must compare ourselves for a moment with God. And this is really impossible to do. And that's part of why we compare ourselves to Him sometimes, because we see how much we are not like Him. And so let's do that for just a moment. In order to do that, we must remember our first truth. God is sovereign. He is the Lord. He is the eternal God. James 1, verse 17. He is the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Do you remember the song we sang? We sang that this morning in our song. There is no shadow of turning with Him. That's where we get that from James. God is holy. We are not. He is all powerful. We are not. He is all seeing. We are not. God does not change. We're always changing. And the older we get, the more we see the changes. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anyone outside of Himself to give His life meaning whatsoever. We are reliant on food and air, sunlight, all kinds of things we are reliant upon just to stay alive, much less all the other things we need in this life. He is the Creator. We are the created. He is the transcendent God. Has anybody heard that word before? Transcendent. It means He is there. He's out there. He is different, wholly other than us. And so we have a hard time comparing ourselves with Him. You might say, think about just the other day. I don't know what happened. We had a window open or something. The next thing you know, we had gnats in the kitchen. Anybody ever had gnats in their house? Tiny little things and they're no fun. You can't get rid of them all. It takes a long time. If you have the little fruit flies, especially with the bananas, there's ways to get rid of them. But anyway, they're there. And they're tiny little things. And so we might say, look at me. That little gnat is nothing. I can take the fly swatter and just squat it, and gnat is over. It's not like me at all. I am so much greater than a gnat. I'm greater in my splendor. I'm greater in my dignity. I can think. All of these things we might say. But, brothers and sisters, we must remember that both the gnat and every one of us are still creatures created by God. Now, we are the pinnacle of creation created in God's image. The gnat is not. But we are still creatures. And so we must remember both the greatness, the transcendence of God when we think about how we compare ourselves to Him. But when we do that, and even thinking about the gnat for just a second longer, we think about all the vast differences between us and the gnat. There's great differences, but the difference between me and you and God is an infinitude of difference between me and the gnat, because God is so much greater. And when we see this perspective, we begin to understand how sinful it is to think that we can accomplish anything on our own will. This is the height of idolatry, which is what James is saying. This is arrogance. It's boasting. So James is saying, if we think our lives belong to us and our plans are dependent on our good efforts, when they so quickly come and go like a mist, shouldn't we, brothers and sisters, spend our efforts on greater matters having to do with faith and the submission to the will of God? Shouldn't we spend more time and effort seeking wisdom, which James tells us to do over and over from this great God? Shouldn't we spend more time and effort pursuing godliness as we desire to do His glory and to shine forth our lives in our families, in our workplaces, in our churches, and the world? So that the least we could say is, if the Lord wills. That's the least we could say. So after considering these two truths, I think we can certainly identify the sin that James is rebuking. If we compare ourselves with, or as creatures, as we compare ourselves as creatures with a very short life on this earth, if we are a mist, if we are smoke that comes and goes, with the sovereign, eternal Lord of the universe who lasts forever, shouldn't we be more concerned with those things that are more important for eternity, for matters of faith and humble submission to the will of God? And when we look at our gifts, the things that God has given us, and our talents, shouldn't we always give thanks in humility, always saying, if God wills, and always count every second as precious in this life? And shouldn't our proper response be to say, yes, you know, life is very short. This is why I want to take every occasion to be obedient in both my heart and my actions to the Word of God, particularly the commands that are given in the Scriptures, culminating in the commands of Christ. How arrogant would it be for an ant to look up at me, put up his paws, fist, whatever, your little, I don't know, some of you guys who know more about ants than I do, but to look up at me and say, go ahead, John, if you think you can squish me, just go ahead. How arrogant would that be? God is sovereign. Life is a mist. Those are our two truths. Now, for the rest of our time, just have some applications. First application: when you leave God out of your planning, you are just like the world, and it is a sin. Jesus speaks about this in His words in Matthew 24, when He speaks about His coming. And He says, for as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered into the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And so He's just not paying particular attention to His coming here, but to the atmosphere and what everybody was saying. They were just going about their business as if God does not exist. That is what we see with the world. So therefore, brothers and sisters, as Christians, what an even greater sin is sin. But I say it's greater. We know better than to do such a thing. Let me say this, that if what I am describing is what is normal in your life, then if you're the person that you can look back at your life over a period of year, 2 years, 3 years, and you do not in your heart and then out of your mouth say, if the Lord wills, I will go. I will do this job. I will travel to this place. I will make this. I will meet this person here or there. If that is you and that is normal, let me just say, that's not what a normal Christian should do. A normal Christian must say, if the Lord wills, I will travel. If the Lord wills, I will go to the beach. If the Lord wills, I will go and sell my goods and make money that I might come. That is the atmosphere, I mean, the mindset that we must have, and that is the atmosphere that must represent us as believers in Christ. That is normal. If that is not your case, and you've been sitting listening to me or anybody else that preaches the Word for many, 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 many years, then what is the problem? Now, I hope that is not the case. I don't think that is the case. That may be just a few of us. But that is a call to repentance, for sure. And I think James is doing that here in this passage. We know that God is sovereign as Christians, and this is what we do. We know life is a mist. And so our plans reflect a heart that says, if God wills, even down to every little point of our life. And young people, you're thinking about a future wife or a future husband or even a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Do you say, is this the person? If God wills, I will do this or that. That's one application. When you leave God out of your planning, you are just like the world. Second application, knowing that God is sovereign and life is a mist gives us great clarity in the midst of trials and tribulations. This is clarity in our mind. Something about knowing God is sovereign. The Bible is clear. God is sovereign. James is clear right here in the Bible. Life is a mist, and we know that. We know that. That gives us clarity when trials and tribulations come in this life. As sickness, which we're in the midst of this COVID-19 thing going on, and it's hit us, and then with the elections coming up, and then the social justice and everything that's happening in our culture all around us, all of these things seem to be hitting us at a pace that we've never experienced before. But knowing that God is sovereign and life is a mist gives us clarity as Christians as we go through these things, because we know who is in control. And we should ask our question, just like James does, what is your life? God knows. None of these things have caught God by surprise. We don't know what He is doing in our country and with our government and with us here at Grace and with what's going on. We do not know for sure. But we have great clarity that God is moving history right to the place to where He desires. Let me say also that as Christians, we are the only ones who really understands this truth. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This means that we, as Christians, must be lights in this world by obeying the command of Christ to do what? What's Christ's command? Matthew 28. As you go therefore and make disciples. That's what we do. If we want to change families, we want to change cities, we want to change thinking in the political world, what do? It's no different. We go and we make disciples. We are lights because we are clear about what truth is, very clearly. Another application. Knowing that God is sovereign and life is a mist leads us to the greatest of peace and comfort in this life. So I just talked about our mind and where we're at when we understand that God is sovereign and life is a mist. Now we move down to practically. This truth helps us and gives us peace and comfort. He, God, knows the great, unattainable chasm between His transcendence and our lives as sinners is a mist. He knows what we are like. This is why, first off, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation of Christ, it's not the opposite of transcendence, but in some ways it is. The opposite would be immanent. Though God is transcendent, He comes down to us in the incarnation of the Son. And when He does that, what He says to us is, I so loved the world. I love sinners. Christ is the friend of sinners. And so He says to the world, to us, look unto Christ. In Him you will find peace and comfort. Why do we find the most peace when we look unto Christ? The reason we find the most peace is because the wrath of God is no longer hanging upon our heads. We have peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. And so only in Christ can our sins be forgiven. And so when we talk about peace and comfort in this life, as Christians, we must look unto Christ and we must consider the gospel. And that's what this application is really what I'm trying to say, that God is sovereign, life is a mist, and this gives us great clarity as we look unto Christ because peace comes down to us. When we go out into the world and we see everything going on around us, and everybody is saying, man, I haven't seen life like this before. And people are panicking and upset and stressed out. Then what do we do as Christians? We offer them Christ because we ourselves have peace. We want them to have peace. Another application. Trusting in the sovereignty of God is not fatalistic. In other words, we are not robots. Yes, God is in control. And in some way, shape, or form, the reason He knows everything is because in His eternal decorative will, all things come to pass. Go figure that and wrap your mind around that. We cannot. But still, the Bible is really clear. God is in control of all things that come to pass. But that does not mean that we are fatalistic. We're not robots. We still, as merchants, and as those who must work and make money and provide for our families, we must plan and we must better ourselves. We must better our businesses. We should better our neighbors in everything that we do. But in the process, we do what is right and godly in all of these things. We may not always know the right choice concerning a job or a move or a particular decision. Often we don't. We're not looking for some lightning bolt from God to tell us what to do. Often we have two decisions that are very close and very clear. Neither one of them are sinful. But the Bible has given us everything that we need for life and godliness to make those choices with godliness. And so we must do that. We must plan. Remember as before, we make our plans. God directs our steps. Another application. Do not worry. This kind of piggybacks along with the peace. But do not worry because God cares for you. His purpose for you is your good. And I mean, we don't really need to go any further than Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But we know the reason that we should not worry, that God cares for us, is because He is sovereign. And what He says He will do, He will do. Let me, if you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're almost done here. Won't have you turn anywhere else today. Isaiah 40. Think about this. Do not worry. God cares for you. And in the midst, and we just preached through Isaiah, and I still remember this passage. It's still one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. But in everything that was going on with Isaiah, as they were moving down the path of more immorality, working towards going and being carried away to Babylon, here's what God says. Chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. A voice cries and says, or a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Isn't this what James is saying here with life is a mist? Yes. And so Isaiah says that. But then as we continue through that passage, look at verse 9. He brings words of comfort. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And then he says he will tend his flock like a shepherd. That's us today in the church, God's people. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Now go down to verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. We tend to take those verses and just go, woohoo! Because I know, we were talking about as elders this morning, if your family, if it's not you or your spouse or your kids or your brother or your sister or your mother or your dad or your grandparent or one of your really good friends at work, all of us, brothers and sisters, are going through difficult times. And if you're not going through a difficult time, it's coming next week or next month. And some of those difficulties are even worse because we feel like we're not the cause of those difficulties. It just goes on and on and on. And so we look at these and go, "Woo, I'm just going." But some, right in the midst of what we're going through and what you're going through, these truths, God is sovereign, even over your difficulty now, it has the great, it will bring comfort. It will bring comfort. It just may be very different than the comfort that it brings to someone sitting next to you, because this time too shall pass, good or bad. And I don't claim to have some magic ball to say that if you just trust in the Lord, all your problems are going to go away and all of your sinful friends are all of a sudden going to get saved and everything else is going to be. No, that's what we're waiting for, the new heavens and the new earth. But the Bible still says for now, do not worry, and His Spirit, as we look unto Christ, will give us great grace. God cares for you right now. And so go unto Him. 1 Peter says, cast your cares. Throw them out there like your fishing rod. Cast them out there to Him because He cares for you. So do not worry. Another application. I've got just two more here. Your life is not your own. We are creatures of the living God. We are creatures. That alone. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That says enough. We were created for His glory. And I must say, even in judgment or in salvation, God will be glorified. We were created for His glory. Our life is not our own. That's why when Jesus comes and you see, He says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. That's what we do. Our life is not our own. And the world doesn't think that. The world thinks, my life is my own. That's why they don't say, if the Lord wills. That's why they go on and do their business and they leave God out. But we don't do that. We don't do that because our life is not our own. Therefore, we must always say, your will be done. Another application. Now that we've looked at this passage and we see this particular sin, look with me at verse 17. As we see this particular sin here of leaving God out, there is no excuse now that we know what our sin is. So if this is you today, I would call you I would call myself to repentance. Because verse 17 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. There is no excuse today in the future for us to think that we can go or be or do or plan our lives apart from saying, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. That's the first application in this text, because that's the particular sin. But that verse applies to so many things, especially sins of omission, whatever it is, whether it's your prayer life, whether it's your reading the Word, whether it's sharing the gospel. Even this week in our elders' meeting, we talked about things that we believe, even here at Grace, that we are so lacking in. We could all do that about our lives. And this verse is for us today. And so I pray that these words would give us a, by the Spirit, as we look unto Christ, as we leave this place, that repentance would be in our hearts as we leave this Sunday morning. So, in closing this morning, to know that God is sovereign, to know that life is a mist, and live our lives in another way is not wise. But to know that God is sovereign, that life is a mist, and to live our lives but saying, if the Lord wills, your will be done, this is wisdom. And I believe that James is, the entire five chapters really is about, from one perspective, is about wisdom, because he says from the beginning, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. And so all of the things that James is telling us to do, which is so many things, is really just about wisdom. To be wise is to know today that God is sovereign and that life is a mist. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks again for these words this morning. You are good to us, Father. I know that, Father, many times my words are not the clearest. But Father, I pray that that those things that we heard today that were clear, that one thing or that those two things, or whatever it is that we get, that we might apply that today and look unto Christ. Father, may we have repentant hearts. And Father, when we do, we will praise you, who grants us repentance. Father, help us today to put these words into practice in these days. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.